thank you for taking 10 minutes for our show this Friday. I'm Carl Azus, and it's always good to have you watching. Some gloomy statistics related to drug overdoses headline today's program. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control says in 2021, almost 108,000 Americans died of overdoses. That's the most the nation has ever seen in a year. And we've reported info like this several times recently because new records keep being set. The number of deaths increased for several different types of drugs, from opioids like fentanyl to stimulants like methamphetamine and cocaine. But two-thirds of the fatal overdoses were from the synthetic painkiller fentanyl or drugs like it. Critics of the Biden administration say the government needs to take more action, spend more money, and set aside more resources to deal with America's drug abuse. But the Trump administration and the Obama administration were also urged to do the same thing. And despite years and billions of dollars committed by the federal government to fight against illegal drug use, the problem has only gotten worse. Okay, are there any silver linings to the CDC's report? Overdose deaths from natural drugs or semi-synthetic drugs, like prescription medications, decreased a little last year from their previous levels. And while 14,000 more deaths were recorded in 2021 than there were in 2020, it wasn't as big of an increase percentage-wise as the one recorded between 2019 and 2020. Government health officials have blamed the COVID pandemic for playing a role in drug overdoses. Experts say it'll take time, effort, and social changes to make a meaningful dent in America's drug problem. Next story. Over the 2.5 months we've reported on the war in Ukraine, officials estimate there have been tens of thousands of troops killed or wounded and roughly 8,000 or more civilians killed or wounded. We've showed you pictures of extensive destruction throughout the Eastern European country. What can be done to preserve the thousand-year-old religious and cultural heritage of this land?
Over the first 38 days of Russia's war on Ukraine, nearly 200 cultural sites have been potentially damaged. Memorials and places of worship have been impacted the most. To try and preserve Ukraine's heritage and cultural sites, an app has been developed. It lets people save landmarks, at least digitally, in a place safe from missile attacks.
Back Up Ukraine is an app which has been developed quickly. Just as the war in Ukraine started. You can actually take your mobile phone. It just has to be a newer model. And with the app, you can just take photos. You have to take a series of photos. For instance, if it's a statue or a fountain or something like that, you'll need to take photos all around to get all the details. You can also film it as a movie. And then the software of the app will generate a three-dimensional model of what you are documenting, what you are filming and photographing. And in that way, we have a very detailed three-dimensional model of this statue or fountain or building. And you can actually use that then, if they are being damaged or destroyed, to rebuild or to repair from this documentation. It's very democratic. It actually gives the resource, the tools, to the whole population of Ukraine. People can decide for themselves what they think is heritage to them.
During this war, we've seen how fast things could be destroyed. And this is just one of my favorite places in Kyiv to be. And this stone has been here since the 1500 years anniversary of Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. And I just love this place. That's why I decided to scan it to preserve it for the eternity.
If the common heritage is disappearing, then you have less of a basis to develop your community on. And they're actually attacking and damaging the memory of the country and also the identity of Ukraine. Set aside the people, which of course are the most important to protect and to help, then the culture and the heritage is what defines Ukraine.
10-second trivia. Chaturanga is believed to be an early version of chess originating in what place? Persia, China, India, or Egypt? The game thought to be a precursor to chess likely dates back to 6th century India. A historic chess match concluded this week in 1997. It pitted Grandmaster Garry Kasparov, who'd been world champion since 1985, against Deep Blue, a computer built by IBM to show off artificial intelligence. The 1997 event was a rematch. Kasparov had played and defeated Deep Blue a year earlier. The computer had won a game but lost the overall match. But then, programmers upgraded Deep Blue, and when the two opponents faced off for the second time, the machine ultimately won. For Throwback Friday, we're bringing you an original CNN report from 1997, when one of the games in that match ended in a draw.
And now he has accepted the draw. And a magnificent display by Deep Blue. He can't believe it.
IBM's chess-playing supercomputer Deep Blue outmaneuvered the world's highest-ranked human player, Garry Kasparov, into accepting a third consecutive draw. The outcome stunned the experts.
And this computer has widened the dimension of what's going on in these games. It's increased the possibilities. This is going to change the game. They're going to show new ways of playing these complex endgames.
Spectators greeted the 34-year-old Russian with a lengthy standing ovation.
There are many, many discoveries in this match, and one of them that sometimes computer plays very human moves. We have to praise machine for understanding very, very deeply positional factors. I think it's outstanding scientific achievement.
The draw came after 49 moves and just over 4 hours of often intense play that kept many spectators on the edges of their seats.
For some, watching chess might be tantamount to watching paint dry or golf on television. However, it's actually been very entertaining. When crucial moves are made, the mood is highly dramatic.
And look at Garry, that jacket opened up a little bit there. Wait, we're watching now, because when Garry takes it off, then he's in trouble.
While the computer played some baffling, unconventional moves at the start of the game, it was the computer's end game that astonished even those who have helped to program it.
I think that Deep Blue played a very good game. It played very aggressively and without the usual fear that that a human player has for playing Garry Kasparov.
Tomorrow I will have to face another difficult challenge. Probably the only good thing is not to resign in advance.
The sixth and final game of the match is scheduled for Sunday afternoon. Cynthia Tornquist, CNN New York.
Walter Orthman is 100 years old. He's been working at the same place since he was 15. It's a textile business in Brazil. And because of that, Orthman holds the Guinness World Record for the longest time spent working for the same company. He says his position in sales has been a great job he wouldn't have found anywhere else, and that's why he never considered leaving it. He likes the commitment, he says he's happy and lives well, and Orthman, who recently broke his own record for company longevity, has no plans to retire. So there's no doubt he's a company man. He's in good company. He's in the company of record holders. He's judged by the company he keeps. He's a businessman who's all business, minding his business and the business of making business history. We say, give that centenarian salesman a raise, buy a C-note. I'm Carl Azus, and Fridays are awesome. Mobridge Pollock Middle School gets today's shout-out. It is in Mobridge, South Dakota. The one way to request a mention is to leave a comment on each day's show at youtube.com/CNN